Welcome to another episode of Hair Biz Radio with your hosts, Zakira and
Mikey.
And we are back today to talk with you guys. I know a couple episodes ago, we did talk about budgeting.
Right.
For hairstylists, for people in the beauty industry. And that was a really great episode. And we're very passionate about helping people when it comes to building their businesses, but also leaving legacies and building wealth for their families and generations. So today we're back with two more guests. This is going to be a double episode for you guys because we haven't done this before.
Yeah, this is new.
We haven't done it before, but we have a double episode, so you guys will get double the information, double the gems, double the resources. So everything is going to be great. Today we have a special guest with us, special guest number one, and his name is Danny Harris. He is a financial advisor based out of the Charleston, South Carolina area, but travels all over the world. And he is going to share a little bit about himself, his experience, background, and we're going to get into some nitty gritty stuff. But before we do that, Mikey, what has been up?
Working, twerking, and doing what I do.
Mikey twerking. There's footage floating around out there that I could probably pull up that Mikey is twerking.
Twerk champion 1992. What you got? Just, you know what? We are implementing new systems in the business to make things continue. This is what I say every episode. We're always implementing something new, right? So it's a continual process. The retail market is still a little slow.
Yeah.
Hairstyle
still slow. It's like the entire economy is very slow right now.
Slow down.
Like prices are raising.
Lots of issues. Dropping.
Yeah, just a lot of stuff is going on.
So as a business owner, what you need to do is understand you're going to work twice as hard for half of the, I guess, funds or sales or whatever else. That's kind of it. But you can't slow down right now.
Right.
This is the perfect time while things are slower is to get yourself ready for when business is busy again, which we always go through cycles if you look at history. So that's what all we're working on here at Private Label is just always trying to figure out how we can be a little bit better every single day. We're going to have another episode on some Facebook, Instagram ads because it's back big with the update. So that's going to be a juicy one.
Mikey has some juicy stuff to share. We talked about before just how, like, as things are going slow, that's like the best time for you to put your foot on the gas and literally start building out systems like how Private Label is doing. And switching up marketing strategies and going full throttle with blog writing and building. And there's just so many different things that you're not able to touch maybe if you don't have a team when things are going really, really fast paced, that now when things are kind of slower is the best time to go knee deep in business.
100%.
Yeah. So let's jump into some money. What's that song you always like to sing? Money, that has money in it?
Money, money. No, it's a thing from Broad City.
How does it go?
She just keeps saying money, money, money. Or
something. That's like good enough for me.
The interns and I like make everyone watch that clip on Broad City. It's so funny. I made Nick watch that. Nick's filling in for Dawi today. I made Nick watch it, I think, like a month or two ago of like, Nick, this is what we got to do. And she like walks around. I don't know. Anyways, real money over here.
Let's go. So we have Danny with us. Danny, how are you doing? How are
you feeling great. Today? Thank you all for having us.
Thank you for driving.
I'm so excited.
3 hours, 2 hours. How many hours?
Five.
Danny said don't play him, okay? Because he drove 5 hours to come out here to spend the day with us. Okay, my bad.
It was
a good
trip though. We had a good time. Michael and I enjoy the time.
Yeah, so Michael is the second guest that we'll have on today's podcast. So make sure you guys stick around to hear from Michael as well.
Yeah, and I met these guys at Bronner Brothers in Miami, or as some say, Miami. And so we met there, and then we ran into each other again in New Orleans or there's many ways people say that.
New Orleans.
Okay, so we met there. A lot of people actually thought I was from New Orleans from the Magnolia. You might not know about it. It's home of the soldier.
Wait a second.
Nick wasn't even ready for that one. We saw each other there. I said, look, got to get you guys on the pod. Come on over. And look, we're here today to talk some business because I think it's so important that we all become much more financially literate, get our finances together. Credit together, everything else. So I see you got this amazing. What is that, an iPad?
It's not an iPad. What is that? Michael's little trick, Remarkable.
Okay.
Remarkable is a really good tool, actually.
Oh, nice.
You can share PDFs back and forth. You can send it to it. send it away from it. So it's a really great tool. Helps me be efficient. Helps Michael be efficient.
Okay.
His note taking with his clients.
Okay. Really so let's go over some of the notes. What do we got? What do we need to talk about? What a hair sauce, because you've been working with people in the beauty industry, obviously.
Right. So let's go to the beginning.
You want to hear how it all started?
Yes. So how long have you been in the financial industry? Did you come out of school like, I'm going into finance? I know that's not what happened. So let's talk about it. It was definitely
not. Okay. It's a really interesting story, actually. So when I graduated college, played golf at a D1 school.
Nice.
Moved to Charleston, South Carolina to play professional golf. And that was like my dream, my goal. I was going to do it while I was young, while I still had the good back for it. So I gave it a good run. And then after that, I opened a couple little businesses, boat detailing business. I opened a car washing business. I also opened some kind of Airbnb structure that I was trying to build into, which now has expanded pretty well and is very fruitful. So that's more of my passivity in income, which is great. But the financial planning space really came about because of my uncle, actually. So he's one of the vice presidents at Merrill Lynch. He's really upset that I didn't come and work with him. but hey, I mean, that's on him. I didn't like to mix family and business. So, so I went off on my own and created an owner operator financial planning practice. Mm-hmm. And this was going on almost 4 years ago. So started that about 4 years ago. Since then, it's been interesting, especially with the times that we're living in right now.
Right.
We've seen a lot of changes through COVID, which was incredibly unique for the environment. Mm-hmm. But more people had money during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
It was interesting. They weren't spending any money.
Yeah, because people weren't out spending money outside every day.
Right. And now we're seeing the opposite.
Printing it like, you know, everybody's business.
Yeah. Put a lot of control there. But now we're seeing the exact opposite, right? Mm-hmm. People are trying to tighten up on the money supply and things like that. So, but really that was kind of the driver was really that I just loved people and I loved helping people and I was really good at money. I've always been really good at money. And the reason that I got into the hair space specifically is my wife has been a stylist for almost 17 years now.
Nice. There's the cohesive.
So there's the connection, right?
That is happening.
So it was kind of unique in the sense that, you know, she was my first client when I became a financial planner, financial advisor. She is my worst client to date, and she always will be. So her and I share the ownership in her salon space.
Got it.
So there's a connection there, and then you'll learn a little bit about Michael's connection to the industry as well, which is interesting. But but really, you know, I saw a very big need for help. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily that she wasn't good at making money, because she does that really well.
It's the managing.
It is how to manage the money.
Yes.
How do I save my money so that I can ultimately grow my business exponentially?
Yes.
How do I take it and reinvest?
Let's pause right there for a second because we have so many people in the industry, and Mikey and I talk about this all of the time, about how hairstylists, barbers, beauty experts, they all make money. Like they make good money. But the managing part of it is because you're so transaction to transaction, you're not putting your money away, you're not investing your money, you're not doing all of these different things. So why is it important for that to be the case? Because you said your wife was making the money, but she wasn't great at managing the money. But why is it even important to be able to manage money?
Having a general knowledge of being able to manage a debit and credit system is really important. For any business, doesn't matter what industry, right? So understanding first and foremost, I have to have money coming in before I can have expenses.
Yep.
So being, as James Bronner said a long time ago, I think you guys remember this, but he said, you have to be the CEO of your own personal individual first.
That was a great episode, by the way.
That was awesome. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
It was a really good episode.
Really great.
But that was like one of the biggest points that I took out of that was the understanding that if you can't do it yourself, how are you going to do it with a business? So that first and foremost, you got to build a good foundation.
Yes.
And understanding. But money management is so important because you have to understand that if you're not generating the right income and you have too many expenses, the business is failing. Yep. Though showing a loss isn't a terrible thing sometimes, but it's more important if you want to grow exponentially. So that was one of the first things that I worked on with my wife in particular was, what are you taking in? What are your expenses on a weekly basis? Not on a monthly basis, weekly basis, because it fluctuates.
Right.
All right. Depending on how many days she works, how many clients she sees, what kind of services she provided that week. So understanding an average of what's coming in versus what's going out was really important for her. So we started there.
I love it. And so we have a ton of different levels of people who listen to the podcast. So I always like to go to the very basic beginning, because if you're listening to this or watching, you can definitely use, like, literally go down to the very baby step and say, okay, you're not frantic about where to start. We're literally telling you, you have to learn and know how to manage money. So that's really great.
So, and similarly to how that starts as an early entrepreneur, what we were doing was making sure that we designed our financial planning team, because Michael Cole and I are the lead advisors. We have an advisor that works with us, but supports the early entrepreneurs. So building the foundational pieces into the financial plan to make sure that the business can ultimately be successful long-term, not just short-term. Because the first few years are tough. We all know that. It's building.
Yes, definitely.
And if you do the wrong things early, long-term, it's not sustainable. So if you implement strategies early on with financial planning, there is a much higher rate of success with our clients that we see.
So there's someone listening that is like, what is the difference between a financial advisor, a financial planner, a bank, a fiduciary? Like, can you explain what is the difference between those things and why you need a financial advisor?
Really interesting question. If they taught what we knew in schools, we would be out of a job. Truly.
Wow.
Truly. That's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. But financial planners, financial advisors can all be fiduciaries. Mm-hmm. Okay. Having somebody who is a fiduciary is invaluable to the support of your business simply because they have to do what's in the best interest of you as the client. Above and beyond who they place insurance with or who they invest their money with, whatever other avenues that are out there, it is first and foremost all about the client and the suitability of the recommendation. Yeah. It's so important for that to be the focus of any conversation. So when I sit down with a new client or a prospective client, I am talking about goals, aspirations, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, to understand who they are as individuals so that I'm able to build a solid financial plan with recommendations that are suitable. That's the key word.
And I think it's one of these things that a lot of people, they don't like to think long term.
Yeah.
And I talk a lot about credit card rewards and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And well, one it. Of the things
I will say, I'm going to just give Mikey a pat on the back because I made it to platinum medallion because of Mikey.
Get it. There you go.
We're getting the diamond, but I literally took everything Mikey said and just ran with it.
So. Smart guy.
It's one of those things where people say, I said, look, you're buying all this stuff on a debit card, put it on a credit card and pay it off every week.
Right.
If you can't pay it off immediately, it should not go on the credit card unless it's emergency.
Yep.
It's just simple fact here. Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't need it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And one of the things I tell people is you have to really stay focused with that. And people are like, well, you know, it's just me personally. It's not a business like you. I don't spend that much. And I say it, I said exactly. So at this point, you don't spend that much. It's a good time to learn this because if you can't manage this perfectly when you're not even spending a lot, if your business grows really fast, you know, like you plan it or really want it to be, most cases it's not, but still, it's going to continue to grow. You have to be able to manage it today personally before you're going to be able to manage it for this business with growing expenses.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, and that's one of the things that I learned said, start with your personal side now, and then it's going to help kind of roll over into the business side of the management, even at a small scale. If you can't do it at a small scale, all of a sudden, because you're making all this money, you think it's going to get easier.
Right.
No, it gets hard.
No, it gets much more difficult. So much harder. You have to learn now.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
So what about for the people who are saying, well, I don't make that much money right now. Do I even need a financial advisor?
They need a financial plan.
And can you talk to us a little bit about why?
Sure. So I have always been of the notion that regardless of your income, you need a financial plan. You need to know where you're going. And if you don't know where you're going, you have no idea how to get there.
Yeah.
Right? So just because you don't make a lot of money right now doesn't mean that you don't see a business growing exponentially over the next 15 years. But if you have no game plan, no understanding, or no general knowledge of how to build financial plans, you're going to miss out.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're going to get 5 years down the road struggling for 5 years because you didn't save, you weren't efficient with your tax dollars, like you're not leveraging tools out there, like Mikey mentioned, like putting money on a credit card. That's great. Cash rewards, points, whatever that is, those are all valuable to the business because then you can re-leverage them for the business.
Oh, yeah.
But if you don't know about that, you're starting behind.
Oh yeah. So for you guys who are listening, who I know someone had the question, what if I don't make that much money?
Yeah.
You know, you have that now. And I think one thing that I love about bringing guests on this podcast is that we can literally go back to the roots, like square one. And for people who just don't understand or don't know or don't have the knowledge, you can gain it from listening to this podcast.
Yeah, I think you need to realize the reason you're not more successful in business, the reason why I don't have 100 stores, I just don't know how to yet. I haven't learned how to yet. So you have to spend time on education. I spend so much time of my day at this point on education. It's but huge. Then you have education, but then don't spend all your time on education and not enough time of doing.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people that just educator. You got to find that balance, the time of day.
Yes.
You know, usually it's early morning for me. I like to get some work done. I'm learning different things, or later in the day, or like I'm about to go on a trip. Mm-hmm. During that trip, I'm going to spend a lot of time on education. Yeah. So education in many different aspects of your life is going to make your life a lot easier.
Yes.
We're trying to make it easier for you guys.
So
that
much easier.
Financial stress, what he's talking about, getting rid of that financial stress is amazing.
Yeah, I love the phrase, knowledge changes situations, but applied knowledge really does change situations. Like you can know everything
that's so good
in the world, but if you don't apply it, it means nothing. Right. It means absolutely nothing.
And you know, it's funny when we think about education in general, right? So I, Dallas and I actually hit it off because I educate at the Paul Mitchell School in Charleston. Nice. Obviously Dallas is a big educator on the national stage there. So, one of the things that I do on a monthly basis is I go and teach the students that are going to take their boards in the next 6 to 8 months of what to really think about. Not so much on full-fledged financial planning, but what direction should you go? Should you come out of hair school, go get your board certification, and then immediately open a business and go run a booth? Probably not.
Right.
You have no experience.
Yeah.
Not only do you have no experience in the space, but you also have no idea how to run a business. Mm-hmm. So if you go and work as an assistant, or if you work as a level one stylist and you work your way up to level three, you get to level three and you're like, all right, go. I got this.
Yeah.
Right? That education is so important. And then we build in the financials from there.
Yeah, just because TikTok says it's a great idea to start a business doesn't mean you should be starting a business right now. Like,
Put me on that soapbox with social media.
Not that easy. I mean, you're competing with people that have been doing this stuff for a long time, that are reinvesting and everything else. And competition is okay. You're always going to be up against that. But you have to have some base to build off of, some experience, learn from others. So the other business owner, I usually say exactly the same thing. Don't get the salon suite as soon as you get, as soon as you're certified.
Yeah.
Go ahead and work for someone. See the things, how they run the business. Start taking notes of changes you would maybe make as kind of a new stylist, or kind of maybe you have a fresh take on something.
Oh, yeah.
Start putting this plan together. Mm. Get a plan.
Yeah.
And then
my favorite word.
You can start moving on to other business activities.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
I was listening to a podcast, maybe it was last week, and the guest was so frustrated with social media, because as an expert, it's like you get on TikTok, you get on Instagram, and you see people saying, oh, this is how you do this. Like, let me show you how to do your financial plan. And they don't have any credentials on how to do it. And now you get in, you try to do it, and you missed so many steps. And it's like, Danny's over here in his chair like, oh my God.
Do you go and get your hair put in by somebody who's not licensed?
Absolutely not.
Would you let somebody talk about money with you that's not licensed?
Absolutely not.
So why would you do anything different than that, right? I don't go to an unlicensed barber. I get my ear cut off.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense. So social media is a constant battle for us.
Yeah.
Because the response that we are always having is, well, I saw this on TikTok, or I saw this, I saw this on Instagram, and I'm like, tell me about this. I'm like, I'm happy to talk about this.
Right.
But you're missing the big picture of it. They just show you a 20-second clip.
Right. And really, there's so much more into this.
God, yes. So dangerous.
So you guys actually travel around the world. Yep. What types of, well, we know that you guys go to hair shows. So what?
We love some hair shows.
Yeah. So outside of hair shows, are there any other conferences or trade shows or expos that you guys are going to? Or do you specifically deal with just the beauty industry?
So when Michael and I partnered together, our focus was solely on the beauty industry.
Got it.
For that reason, I have a number of clients in many different industries. I've found that the biggest industry that needs my support mm-hmm. is the beauty industry.
Very true.
So really what I did was I started locally. I started in Charleston, South Carolina, mm-hmm. and I work with over 100 salons in Charleston.
Nice.
And I do business planning. I do personal planning. And I usually start with the business owner and then work my way down so that I can be an avenue for them to reach out. Mm-hmm. The benefit of working with us too, in the way that we've designed our practice, is that it doesn't cost them a dollar to sit with us. So it's all time.
Got it.
And at the end of our conversations, once we better understood what their position is, we then build a financial plan and they can implement it the way that they see fit. So it provides that flexibility in knowing that it's not like going to buy a car.
Right.
Right. You're going to get pummeled in the parking lot. We have we have no interest in that, because what we know is that we provide value.
Right.
And it's just dependent upon the individual that's receiving it.
Got it. So what are some of the types of things that you would go over with, let's just say a stylist came to you and said, hey, I'm interested in learning about the services that you offer.
Sure.
What does that look like?
So we have kind of a top-down approach. We picture this as like a triangle, okay? Or picture a house, since I love Airbnbs, and I think you do too. So you're not going to put a roof on a house without a foundation.
Right.
Right? That's the first step. Mm-hmm. So what does the financial plan entail from a foundational perspective? It's everything that could possibly go wrong with my business. Like understanding what could go wrong before it does, and then solving that problem is one of the best things that you could understand when building a business. So making sure that I have enough money, 1-3 to 6 months, some sort of emergency fund so that I can float myself if COVID happens, if something else happens, if I can't work. So there's two sides. There's what we can control and what we can't. I can't control losing my income if I get sick or hurt. Mm-hmm. Somebody rear ends me on 20, what's going to happen? Right? I still need to pay my bills.
Right.
So understanding that your income is your greatest asset. Your ability to earn income is your greatest asset. Mm-hmm. Health insurance benefits. If you don't have health insurance, that's the first place that we start.
Right.
Like this country is not designed
absolutely
to efficiently work for somebody that doesn't have health benefits.
Yeah.
Right. So we want to make sure that that's a big part of the financial plan. And because of the certifications that we have, health insurance is one of those. And we can position ourselves to work with the appropriate people to do that.
Got it.
Life insurance planning on the defensive side. If I die, somebody is still going to be responsible for the bills that I have mm-hmm. for my homes, for my cars, paying for my kids to go to school. What does that look like? So if you have a situation like that, and life insurance isn't meant for everybody, right. but if you have a situation where you're married, have children, own assets, life insurance needs to be put in place. And our job is to educate you to make sure we buy the right product and place the right insurance with you at the right amount. Okay. That's a huge, we were talking about social media. Life insurance is like my nightmare on TikTok.
Really?
Yeah, because everybody is talking about it, but the people that are talking about it aren't necessarily life and health licensed.
Yeah.
Which is dangerous.
Very.
I feel like, you know, it's funny about that, getting into the TikTok. I feel like there's always two sides to a story with a lot of financial stuff. Mm-hmm. They always tell like the exciting side that's going to get shares and views, mm-hmm. but it's not the other side. And I'll give you an example, right? Because it's funny, you know, Jay, my accountant, my CPA, he's on TikTok and we'll send each other random, like especially accounting videos. Cause I said, you should create a TikTok debunking a lot of these videos. And one of them that has been real popular is like, you know, I just bought this $200,000 G-Wagon because of the weight of the vehicle. I was able to write off the whole thing this year.
Yeah.
And it's like, my God, it feels like it's free.
Yeah, no.
But what they not don't free. Say.
Absolutely not.
But what they don't say is like, maybe in a year you're like, well, this car is kind of stupid. It gets 10 miles a gallon. The insurance is high and everything else. I'm going to sell it. You sell it for, you know, you're going to lose money on it. You're going to sell, say, for 150 just in a year.
You
50 out. But the 150,000 that you basically have written off that you didn't lose, you now owe the money on that 150,000. They don't tell you this in TikTok.
There's your income.
Right?
You just received it back.
Yeah.
you don't think that 150, that's
correct.
All now taxable income that's going on your taxes from selling the car because you wrote it off. It's just situations like that. You got to be so careful and align yourself with the right people financially.
That's exactly it. Yeah, the misinformation it's not necessarily misinformation. There's a lot of good stuff out there.
For sure.
But there's certainly cropped information.
Yeah,
right. Crop the video. Whole story. They don't see the whole picture and fully understand like why the vehicle has to be 6,000 pounds, or what happens if I just spent 200,000. I could depreciate it over a year, 3 years. Do I write off mileage or do I write off gas? Like, what does that look like? And there's no real explanation there. It's just kind of, well, we gave you the info. Now you figure it out. Whew. And it's missed.
We could do a whole podcast episode on just all of this.
I told you, get me on a soapbox and we'll get rolling.
Definitely. So what is something that, a tip or a piece of advice that you would share with someone who is just getting into, they want to take that first step into financial planning? Like, what is a piece of advice that you would give them?
First thing that I always do with a client or a prospective client is I understand the balance sheet. I give them a budget. Mm-hmm. It's funny, you guys just had that budget conversation.
Yeah.
Right? I give them a budget, both personally and business budget, for them to complete. And then I look at an assets and liability sheet. Just look at a balance sheet. Are my liabilities outweighing my assets? What am I doing? Like, just get, it gives you a really good full picture of what's happening.
Yeah.
And then what we also do is we get information about the entire family. So we better understand what the goals of the kids are, how many children you have, if you have children. What's interesting is that there's very little that we can do to separate business from personal. On paper, there's a lot we can do, but it's flow through income. That's what we see, right? So I have to do this, but I have to pay my bills here, but then I also have bills here. So understanding what both of those look like from our perspective anyway is phenomenally beneficial for us so that we can really build the understanding of financial planning. Now, there's a lot of things that people do on their own because they heard it somewhere,
right?
Which is fine,
yeah,
which is great. But then what we have to do is then put the pieces together and kind of rebuild the puzzle so that it fits.
Clean it up, basically.
Yeah, I mean, there's some jagged edges and some kind of messed up pieces that the dog ate, but like we got to really build it back together so that they have the full picture. Yeah.
I love it. Is there anything that we did not cover that you were like, man, I really wanted to go in here and share this with people?
Before we bring on your partner over there.
So I've got
wait, he's waiting.
Yeah. So, well, we covered it briefly. I mean, I think, you know, understanding, and we talked about risks of the business, right? I think there's a number of different tools out there that are not only cost efficient, but tremendously benefit the business. I mean, there's key man insurance. So if you have a manager and they are invaluable, you can't like run the business without them. What happens to them if something happens? What happens to your business? It's horribly impacted, right? Yeah. So key man insurance, disability overhead expense. If I'm hurt, I still need to pay the mortgage. I still need to pay all my people. Mm-hmm. Putting these things in place are really valuable. And then individual disability on myself, both short-term and long-term. Short-term will help me up to the 90th day. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's just, oh, I nicked myself or whatever, right? Or I got in a car accident and I need to see a physical therapist. What happens if I'm horribly impaired and I can no longer be behind the chair? So long-term disability not only is tax efficient because it's after-tax money paying the premiums on it, but long-term, I never pay taxes on that dollar. And it lasts until I'm 70. So I can still pay all my bills. I can keep the business if I wanted to, just put the right people in place. I can make sure my mortgage is paid, all my insurances are covered, everybody's safe and healthy. And then I can still plan for my retirement.
Yeah. Like
that's the best thing that we could do for ourselves.
That's really good.
Yeah. Like
anything you want to add, Mikey?
Yeah. You know, for people that know, like key man insurance is something where like, say I just died and it's kind of like my business partner and
had to use that example.
Well, it is a good example, right? Yeah, so I died.
Yeah.
And my business partner, who's a silent partner pretty much in the business. And, you know, we consult about different things, but for the most part, he doesn't know what the heck's going on over here running this thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's going to make it so on my side, what are we going to do with my side of the business, right? It's going to be a little messy. Or even a better example is if he passed away, right? It would go to say he doesn't have kids. So say his mom, who's like 75. What is she going to do with half of the ownership? So what the key man can do is it'll buy out the family, right? So you have insurance to help buy out the other side. So then that way you can kind of keep running the business and it's not like it gets really messy when people multiple pass people away, multiple owners,
they multiple run partners,
all of a sudden be part of the company and you're like, you have no idea what you're doing. What are you talking about?
We talk about this All the time.
And it happens every day.
Every day. Yeah. I do not go into business with my business partners. I love Michael's wife. She's great. Does she want to own a financial planning practice with me? Absolutely not. Does my wife have any business owning a financial planning practice? Probably not. Right? Do I have any business operating a salon by myself? Certainly not. So I know my lane, right?
Right.
So not only key man insurance, but buy sell arrangements are incredibly valuable when you go into a multiple partner business. So you can fund buy sell arrangements. Mm-hmm. If the business isn't generating enough cash flow, you can still, because there's still equitable shares in the business, right? So you can fund it with buy sell life insurance. And if I die, Mikey would still receive the equitable share and then pay out my wife, and now he has full ownership.
Mm-hmm. That's good too.
And it's really cost effective.
Yeah.
So little things like this can phenomenally change the risk outcome of a business.
I love it. This has been really great. Some great gems. Like I said at the beginning, you're going to get double gems. So we're right here at the halfway mark of all the gems that you've gotten. And I just love that you came on and was where you were able to speak to the people who may not know, who don't understand, who are like, what is a financial planner? What is what is the difference? Like, what are these things? And then also give valuable information for people to actually go and say, let me look these guys up and I need to get in contact with them to see, like, how can I increase my awareness when it comes to financial planning for my business? Because like we said before, a lot of stylists make the money, but they do not know how to manage it. So this is really, really great.
Yeah. And don't feel bad if you don't know. We all start off 100%. Not knowing.
Definitely.
So it's okay that you don't know, you don't have these things in place, but now you know you need to start planning and putting some of these items in place. And the sooner you do it, it'll start relieving a lot of that stress that's kind of in the back. You don't know why you're having it, especially with your business. It'll help alleviate that, which once you kind of have a lot less stress in your life, you can be more creative and it's much easier to honestly be much more successful.
Yeah. I think when Mikey started the hair business, you didn't know much about hair. It took knowledge and work and studying and education. When I got into the hair business with Mikey, I knew about hair, but not as much as I know now.
You're right.
And when I got into real estate, I didn't know much about it, but now I know a lot. So it just takes time. There's like a lot of things that you have to learn and you're not going to know everything. And like Mikey said, don't feel bad or guilty for having to ask a question, because I truly believe that no question is a dumb question, and everyone
absolutely
just has different levels of knowledge. And so it's just important to educate yourself and surround yourself around the people who are going to push you and who are going to help you build wealth and legacy and planning and businesses and all of the things. So
yeah, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Definitely. Exactly. I love that. Yes. Most definitely.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we're going to cut here and take a break. Make sure you guys like, comment, and subscribe. Pretty soon we'll probably have an ad going on here in the middle of our episodes, but you know. All right.
Okay, perfect.